So tonight we're going to stand for the reading of the word. So you can stand now. We're going to follow with as we read two psalms. Close with that. Thanks, Elke.
Okay, so we're going to start with Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, and whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca and make it to a place of springs, the early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength, each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Amen. And then Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city, but is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. There thrones of judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good.
You may now be seated. Thank you. Well, it's wonderful to see you all. Nice together. Together around God's word, together for worship, to look to Jesus in prayer. And I certainly enjoyed our evening of worship tonight. I enjoyed the sweetness of it and the focus of the words too. Just beautiful, drawing us into his presence. So we have this year been giving ourselves to learning about our God through the names and titles that are revealed in Scripture. And we've pressed pause on that just for 4 weeks to look at four of the big, because they're not the only ones, four of the big practices, corporate practices for us. One is initiatory rite of baptism, as you put your trust in Jesus by repenting and putting your faith in him as your Savior. You then go and mark it by going through the waters of baptism. We're doing that next Sunday morning. Be wonderful, even if you're not being baptized, to come and join us, witness the moment next Sunday morning. If you can, that'll be great. Or perhaps during the week, you send the link to someone who becomes convinced and they decide, yes, I want to get baptized. That'll be amazing. Last week, Mark Agar taught us about breaking of bread. Didn't you love the wonderful introduction? Just about the huge diversity in Christianity. The all-nationness of Christianity, the trueness of it being a world faith now. The many nations, the many cities, the many cultures it's touched, and the freedom we have of expression. So many different acceptable cultural expressions of Christianity, dress codes, meeting places, styles of worship, etc. And that plays into tonight as well, because as we talk about gatherings, there are all sorts of different types of gatherings which have been useful to Christianity, but obviously there is also a perennial that churches meet, and the rhythm God has given is days, weeks, months, and years. And there's some annual events, there's some weekly events, and hence we are here tonight. So we looked at breaking of bread last week. This week we're looking at gathering or gatherings, and then next week we look at giving. Just four big practices. One of the things which links these four things is they all require you to do something. To get baptized in water, you have to go to water that is deep enough to be immersed in. You need someone who's already been baptized, who is a believer, and they immerse you in that water, and you come out, and the Bible uses this phrase, in newness of life. And you go walking from that point on. But you actually have to go and do something. To give, you actually have to access your Bitcoin account, find out where the Church on Main Bitcoin account is, send them across. You have to actually do something, right? You have to get practical to make it happen. Likewise, with gathering, you get in your car, you order that Uber, you get a lift from someone. It requires you to actually do something practical. The same is true with the breaking of bread and sharing meals together, meals with Jesus. So that's one of the things which just links these four things together. And I want to read to you, let me just put it in your minds just quickly. There are gatherings of all sorts of types or for all sorts of different reasons and purposes, for prayer, for worship, for strategic planning for churches. We have elders meetings, we have prayer meetings, we have ladies meetings, men's meetings, corporate meetings, annual meetings, conferences. There are so many different types of meetings that Christians are given to these gatherings. And I'd like us to go to a verse or two, Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47, which marks or gives us a window into early church life and a popular text for church planters as they figure out in the beginning how they want to establish their church. So how do you know that? Well, I've been and preached at a number of different church plants when they're getting going and found that they all like to go to this as a series. And it lends itself obviously to kind of a first series within a church. So Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to read from verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Just want you to notice this. I'm going to emphasize one or two words. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of, and actually they put it here in the ESV. In the Greek, it's got to the breaking of the bread and to the prayers. Now notice there's an S at the end of word prayer there. So it's times of prayer as opposed to they devoted themselves to prayer generally. So it's not like each individual was committed to prayer, but they devoted themselves to coming to the prayers, the moments when the community met for their prayer moments. You with me? So you've got to read this carefully sometimes to see what's actually going on in the text. And also importantly, with the breaking of the bread, it's clearly focusing on that covenantal meal which is given to us to practice. Verse 43, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple, it's one of the places, one of the venues they met, they gathered there, together, which is an interesting word, and breaking bread in their homes. Another separate venue where they split up into small groups to meet. They received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. What a lovely picture of what was happening right at the beginning. First church gatherings in Jerusalem, in the temple courts, in their homes, celebrating the Lord. The people recognized something was happening. There was a sense of awe about what they were doing, and they were devoted to different things. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, to the fellowship. It's important to notice the word the. The definite article appears there too. It's not that they were devoted to fellowship, getting together, kayaking, having coffee and tea. That's not what it says. It says they were devoted to the fellowship. All right, it's a different thing. And they met in these different locations, and they had all these different gatherings to fulfill what they were doing. Now, it's really important in this season just to front up with this, that as an eldership team, we're agreed with the fact that gatherings can be online in this season. Thank you for being online, anyone who's there, and anyone who listens later, thank you for listening as well, and dialing into what we're doing. In this season, things have been a little bit different, and we're certainly not, in taking on the subject, trying to put it to people that, hey, it's time to come back now, you have to come in person, when perhaps you have reasons for which you really do need to stay away various risks which you carry, of course, we want you to be in that place where you are free. And that applies actually perennially in the church, because in the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, there are passages which talk about being in quarantine when you could be someone who would be unsafe for others. I don't know if you've ever read those texts. You see the priest. Anyone read those texts? Just a little nod, maybe someone. Where, you know, the priests are told to inspect one of the Israelites' skin to see if they are carrying something which is contagious. Interesting, Moses, by the inspiration of God, gives them some diagnostic tools to help them to discern whether this person needs to be in quarantine for a certain season or not. Anyway, there are a couple of passages in the book of Leviticus about that, and one or two in Deuteronomy as well. You might say, but the quarantine's the other way around this time. We are all having to isolate, even though we are not necessarily carrying something or at a place where we're at risk for various comorbidities or whatever it might be. We also, as believers, need to work with our government and help them with the provisions that are making so that we can live in an ordered society and have health of our nation cared for. You might be saying, yeah, but I've had enough of this. Well, let me tell you, I've also had enough of it. I've got some COVID fatigue, and I've had some COVID fatigue moments. All right? I don't know if you've experienced that. Mask fatigue and just some of the contradictory provisions. You just think, well, that's the provision there, but how does it, let's just see, you know, some of it seems a bit crazy. But at the same time, we have to work with so that we can be those believers who model ordered society. I'm sure you agree with me. Romans chapter 13 talks about us working with our government. And that is a good and a wonderful thing for us to be doing that. So did you get that qualification up front? And the purpose of speaking on gatherings is not to try and drum into this community of people or others online or anyone else who would be that we've got an attitude that churches need to gather again in full and forget about the mask and forget about the protocols. Not at all. It's just one of these corporate practices which we come to. And actually, the sense in my heart is just looking back over history from biblical times. In fact, looking back into biblical history to see where did gatherings first start? Because you got Abraham, and it was just him and his family walking with the Lord. They become a people in Israel, his great-grandson, and they're in captivity in Egypt. And then Moses takes them out into the desert, and they become a people who gather at the tabernacle. They become a people on journey with the Lord. And that's how it gets initiated. And then there are various changes. But in the New Testament, fast forward, so that we don't track with that whole history, we find ourselves in a place where God has destined it that we would gather in groupings called local churches, which is what we are. And I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. You believe in it because, quite honestly, you have gathered, all right? But looking at gatherings still helps us to see the value of it and to see the reason for why we gather and what we can get out of it. And it also creates tracks for our lives. I was at the Alpha Conference in London, the Alpha Leadership Conference. They have a leadership conference. It's an amazing event. 6,000 leaders from all over the world gather there. The privilege of being there once or twice in the Royal Albert Hall. 6,000 people in there. And there's an overflow venue down the road with a whole lot more people. And one of the guest speakers was a Catholic man, wonderful believer in the Lord. And he spoke about, from his childhood, how his mom used to take them on holidays as a family to different villages in Wales. And each time they would arrive on holidays, mom would get their luggage at the place where they were to stay and then immediately take the family. The first thing they would do was go to the center of the village where the church was. And then she would orientate their week around the church. Okay, so she would say to her family, this is how he expressed it to us. So when we go to buy our bread, we're going to go down that road, and that's where we'll buy our bread, at that shop there. And when we're going to go for walks in the afternoon, we're going to come past the church, and then we're going to go out down the lane and into those open fields. And when we need meat, we're going to go to the butchery. And everything was in relation to the church. And she wanted to communicate to her children that the center of their lives was church community, was the God that we know. And I thought to myself, it got into his life in that way. I know that I experienced an upbringing like that. Everything was centered around our faith in God. from the meals we had at home to how we were to treat people, to why we were studying, to what enjoyment of life was all about. And that is a great blessing. And I think one of the things about gatherings is it centers us. It centers us. It gives us a home. I don't know if you noticed in those two psalms which Elka read for us. I was glad when they said to me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. There's a joy in our hearts about it. And then just how the Korahites, they were a division of the priesthood who wrote Psalm 84, spoke about the fact that even the sparrow has found a home. While they're talking about the precincts, the courtyards, the very temple of the Lord. That's their theme. And they say, even the sparrow finds a home there. The imagery helps us to understand that that's what they're on about. God's house is our home. This should be a place, this should be your home. It shouldn't be a place that you come to and feel disjointed and uncomfortable. This should be home for believers. This should be home to welcome people in. Welcome home. Anyone. Welcome home. All human beings. So, interesting story. Michael Eaton, who we were privileged to have preach at our church a number of times, a book writer and a famous preacher, he died maybe 3 years ago, I think it is now. But he used to come and visit our church whenever he was down in Cape Town. We had the privilege of having him speak here. Amazing orator and man of God and whatever. But he told us a funny story about when he first got saved. He was about 16 years, I think, when he got saved. He was the London chess champion, I think. Very clever young man. No Christian heritage in his family. Just like a fresh salvation into his line. And one of the ladies who was part of the eldership team, as in being married to one of the elders in their church, said to him, now, Michael, if you want to grow in your faith, you need to go to every meeting you can. Just whenever the church is gathering, you just go to those so that you can learn and grow and whatever. So he saw the announcement for a meeting at so-and-so's house that week. It was the elders' meeting, and he went because he's been told to. So he knocked on the door. He crossed London in apparently hectic rain and storm, and she happened to open the door. He said, Michael, what are you doing here? He said, well, you told me to go to every meeting I could. She said, okay, well, come on in then. So that was his first elders meeting. Wonderful heart of response to just say, yeah, those are the gatherings. That's good. That's important. I want to commend you, Church on Manus, because in our in these last, whatever year, months and year it is now, year and a few months, there's been such a graciousness and a peace in terms of handling all the different changes and provisions with regard to COVID, people wearing masks, people dutifully logging in, etc., at all the different seasons when it was necessary or not. It's, thank you. Thank you. And the Bible says this in Colossians 3, verse 14, it says, and above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. I want to say that I've seen that. I've witnessed it. I've witnessed it amongst folk in the life of the church here. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. There is something in that for how we gather too. Beautiful words there. But I want to say that just to commend you. You've been a beautiful model of a church. When Yannis was here, I don't know if you remember Yannis, tall guy, played rugby. He mentioned that there are people in his church said, we're only coming back when the elders take their masks off, you know, get real, yeah, you know. It's like, thank goodness we haven't had any of that, yeah, at Church on Main, just see, from his side of Johannesburg where he comes from, I understand it, but it's interesting. Now, some of you have been thinking to yourself, because I know you guys know your Bibles, all right? And you're thinking to yourselves, there's that verse in Hebrews. How's he going to handle that? So I'm going to read it and then make one or two points about it. Hebrews 10, verse 24 to 25 says this. And let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Capital D, indicating that our translators mean or think it's talking about that day when Jesus comes again and there is the judgment and there is a separating, etc. So let us consider how to stir one another to bursts of love, is the way one translation puts it. It's almost like The heritage of the Greek word, there's paroxysms. It's like outbursts. Not outbursts of anger, but outbursts of love. And to good works. That's what we need to be considering. Not neglecting to meet together. In other words, in our meeting together, it seems, that's where we should be doing some of this. Stirring one another to outbursts of love and to good works. That's what we should be doing. Some translations, particularly King James notably, says not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, right? Not forsaking. It's a pretty strong word because, you know, it's the same word translated as when Jesus said, my God, why do you forsake me? When he was on the cross, okay? Fortunately, we also have this sentence in the book of Hebrews which says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we've got those three little messages in there. The duty upon us, or the us being enjoined not to distance ourselves from or forsake the gathering of the brethren. You might be thinking, well, so how does that apply? How do I, you know, because I know you're smart people and you're thinking, you've got all those smarts. And from my perspective, this is how it works. If the pattern of your life is towards God's people, is towards gathering with God's people, we're not talking about events or an essay that is late and you just have to miss so that you can get it done to hand it in the next day, or press the button just before 12 so that it gets into the inbox or whatever it might be. We're talking about the rhythm of your life, the pattern of your life, not events. You miss a meeting for being on a road trip, or you away, or there are many reasons. We're not. It's the pattern of your life. If the pattern of your life is, I'm a believer who gathers with the believers, I'm involved in local church, I'm involved in a small group, I'm growing, learning, developing, then it's fine. Are you with me? Clear. So it's the pattern that we're looking for. It's not events. And we're certainly not in a place where I'm not even knowing of who's attending what meetings or not, generally speaking. From time to time, I think, wow, where's that person? And then I ask. We have our staff meeting on a Monday morning, and we have a little catch-up time afterwards, just discussing things that we need to focus attention to or whatever. And I say, where have you seen so-and-so? What's happening? And then quite often there's a very plausible and easily understandable reason as to why the person is not in town or whatever it might be. So, Zoom fatigue. Anyone got it? It's a real thing. I went somewhere this morning with that one, but I'm going to edit it out tonight. There'll always be a percentage of people who take advantage of things, okay? So there are loopholes to not go to school or not go to class or not go to work or not go to, because of the season. So you're not necessarily really sick or needing to stay away, but you know, that's certainly not what we're encouraging. We want to be a people who are honoring in our workspace, in our school environment, etc., wherever it might be. So Billy, Sunday, he decides to go to the football game instead of to church. But he arrives a bit late. His buddy says to him, how come you're late? He says, well, I had a bit of a thing trying to work out whether to go to church or whether to come here. So eventually, I decided to settle it with the flip of a coin. So he says, well, flip of a coin's very quick. Doesn't take long to settle it. How come you're late? He says, well, I had to do it 35 times before I could get to come to the football. What I want to do is break into this meeting and use one of the words in that text which I read at the beginning to just highlight something for us in this season, right? These last 12, 14, 15 months, whatever it is, has been quite disparate and disjointed and difficult to keep a central focus to it, all right? Not knowing about certain things, whether we're going to be 50, 100, whether we're going to meeting or not, whether we're needing to record, etc., whether we're able to stream. So in that text, it says they met in the temple courts, or they were together. Now that word together as with one accord in some instances. It appears 12 times in the Bible, depending on which particular manuscripts you go to. Some of the manuscripts only have 11. They miss one of the particular ones. But it's this Greek word, and please forgive me, I'm wired this way. Every message that I ever preach, I go and look at the text, at the Greek, not because I'm a great scholar in it, but because I want to. I have a desire to do it. And when my dad was still alive, he used to lecture, and then I'd phone him about the text. He lectured Greek, and then we would talk about them and discuss things. So it's my way into it. So just a little entry into my world tonight. That word together in the Greek is homothymidon. All right? And why I'm bringing it up tonight is I think it's relevant for us in this season as a church. And you'll notice that we've been preaching the same morning, the same message morning and evening. And we're going to be having the same band on morning and evening starting in June for a season of months. So that we get a greater sense of homothymidon. All right? Homothymidon. So I want to read you what this word is. I've downloaded some or cut and paste from some dictionaries that I own. With one accord, all right, homothymidon, from the words homo, it's a compound word, two words, joined together. So we've got homo, which means one and the same or in unison, and then thumos, which describes temperament or emotion of the mind, the principle of life or a feeling of thought. It's an adverb which denotes the unity of a group and means to have the same emotion. Oh, I've got some water here. Probably good to take a bit of that as... With the same passion of one persuasion, of one passion, having the same desire, with the same mind, of one accord, with one mind, with one purpose, with one impulse, all together, unanimously, with unanimous consent, pertaining to mutual consent, by common consent, simultaneously as one. You got the idea? That's what homothymidon is about. So when it says they were together in the temple courts, you don't quite get the sense of what's going on there. There was a sense of homothymidon. All right? Let me read to you what one of the dictionaries says, particularly because it's an image that we can then relate to. There is an intimation of the harmony of shared lives. A great orchestra gathers, the different instruments express their own individuality, but under the baton of the great conductor, the orchestra is capable of blending different sounds to produce the greatest of symphonies. So the idea is of the conductor in heaven, the Holy Spirit, working in our lives, bringing us into a one-mindedness, a one-accordness, a unity of purpose, a thumos, all right? A one-passionedness towards the things of God. That's something he wants to do in and amongst us. Now, it's Luke who chooses to use this word most in the New Testament. He uses it 11 times in the book of Acts, and it describes their prayer. It describes their meeting together. It describes their heart together, okay? I'm trusting, this is what I'm praying for in this season, that we would be a church who find homothymidon. That we find homothymidon, that we find it in our prayer moments, that we find it in the prophetic sense and heart that we carry, that we find it in the Word of God that's being taught, that we find it in our worship moments, that we find it in our outreach to the world around us, that we find it in our practice of small groups, that we find it in our, that the Lord visits us and speaks into all these areas that I've mentioned and others so that we find this one accord. To that end, we are preaching the same message morning and evening for this season and going to have the same bands morning and evening. There is going to be a one-pageness in terms of what we do. You might say, oh, so same. But I feel it's important for us to find something of homothymidon. I need a rap artist to bring something for us with this word. Bishop Chadwick has volunteered. Mangi might throw in a French word or two. That could be nice. That could be nice.
A gold chain.
A gold I started working on one, but then I realized it might be better if I announce it from the front and ask those who are a little bit more gifted and talented with raps to bring us something. There's some, I mean, a homothumadon, it's got a bit of a rhythm to it anyway, the word.
Come on.
Huh? Mark Harrison suggested an opening line of, I identify as homothumadon. It's quite edgy and it's got a bit of something to it. I'm not saying we have to use it, I'm just saying. Where two Christians are in unity, it's a beautiful thing. Where many are, it's a powerful thing. There are many verses in Scripture which show that when people are on the same page, great things happen. And that's one of the reasons we gather. It's one of the reasons we gather, to find God's heart, to know what His Word teaches, to be in that place together, to grow. I just want to say that you might be saying, well, what do we need to have unity in? Obviously, in the essentials, unity. Jesus is the Savior of the world. He's God. He was born to a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He died on a cross. He was buried. He did rise again. He's coming again. He's the judge of all the earth. The Scriptures are inspired. And so I could go on with some of the things that are essentials. With regard to essentials, if you're outside on some of those things, then you're outside, all right? On non-essentials, liberty. One guy really strongly feels that Christians shouldn't drink alcohol. Another strongly feels that, you know, Jesus turned the water into wine and that was a good moment. Obviously, we're not supposed to get drunk because the Bible speaks about that, but can you enjoy a glass of wine? Can you enjoy a beer? Most certainly. So that would be one of those gray areas for some, you know, and with regard to certain music styles and things, some people feel very strongly you can't. And I mean, non-essentials, we have liberty. And in all things, charity. This is attributed to a chap, famous preacher, leader, called Augustine from many centuries ago. I think the 4th century. Although others argue that it wasn't actually him. But in essentials, unity. Non-essentials, liberty. And in all things, charity. We want to be a people like that. Two Christians are better than one, they say, when they are united, when they're going forward together. Homothumadon. So, this is what I want us to do. I want us to actually respond to that little portion of the message right now. So what we're going to do, we're going to stand together and we're going to pray that the Lord would help us to find that one accordness. Can we do that? We're going to do that. Let's stand. So, in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John were told not to preach the name of Jesus anymore because it was embarrassing the Sanhedrin. They returned to the believers and they said, this is what they've told us to do. And so they, as a community, lifted their voices. Anyone, the next word? Together. Homothumadon. They sounded their voices together to God because they had one passion, one accord. They needed a response from heaven to protect them. They needed a response from heaven to give them courage to keep preaching God's word. And what happened? The place was shaken and they were filled again and they came out with boldness because they were in one accord. Now what we're praying for is that the Lord would bring us and put us on one page, give us one accord in worship, one accord in prayer, one accord in heart, vision, direction, what God is doing amongst us. So let's all lift our voices together. It'll take 30 seconds. We pray to our God in heaven. We say, Lord, help us to be in one accord. Lord, we come to you. Mill PM community, we come to you, Lord God, and we say, let us be in one accord. Help us to find a one pageness. Help us to find your heart for us as a church in the city of Cape Town, in this season, with the things you want us to do. Bring it to us, Lord God. We ask in your mighty name. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. We can do better with the amen. 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 All right. Now you can take your seats. I'm going to read you some stats. And then I'm going to go back to those Psalms which were read. I just want to read you some stats here about... Firstly, let me just say, there are a whole lot of verses which talk about one another in Scripture. I don't know if you've ever heard a teaching on the one another's. I've heard a number in my time. But there's love one another, there's be devoted to one another in brotherly love, there's honor one another, live in harmony with one another, let us not judge one another, accept one another, greet one another with a holy kiss, or not in this season, teach one another, serve one another in love, be kind and compassionate to one another, encourage one another, offer hospitality to one another. Those one another's, some of that is expressed by actually meeting one another, and you have to come to gatherings for that. So there's a little bit of obviousness there. But I want to just read you some stats here. Secular sociologists identified these different things. People who are gatherers their whole lives in church, this applies to them. It says they live 7.5 years longer than those who don't. So some of you think, well, I don't have time to go to church. You do. You get it at the gets made up at the end. So all that time you spend at church, you get it at the end anyway, and you have, get the pleasure of enjoying all those meetings. They are 56% more likely to have an optimistic outlook to life. 27% less likely to be depressed. 35% less likely to get divorced. These stats come from some American institution. Have higher average levels of commitment to partners, higher levels of marital satisfaction, less thinking and talking about divorce, and lower levels of negative interaction. Achieve higher grades. Yeah. Remember we went this morning. This morning I said, youth, listen up, you know. Achieve higher grades. Practice better time management. Youth, remember that. Not noticing that we were going to get to the next phrase, which said, and experience a better sex life. And a guy in the audience there shouted out, not for the youth. Anyway, I copied and pasted from Scott Bales' message about enjoying Sundays. I've been doing a little bit of online sermon reading this week to just see what others were saying in this regard, as is a habit of mine. And he notices this, or he notes this little interesting, just scrolling to find it, about the most successful food chain. Let me just read you another stat he gives. Okay, I give this the start of his sermon. It says, good morning and welcome, church. I found some interesting statistics this week that I thought to share with you. It turns out 46% of fatal accidents happen in the home. That's sad, huh? 33% of fatal accidents happen in a vehicle. 2% of fatal accidents happen at work. 19% of fatal accidents happen somewhere else, other than those three places. But less than 1% happen in church. You're in a very safe place. Who wouldn't want to spend more time in church? It's like risk-free, it seems. Anyway, he gives us this interesting thing. Can anyone tell me what the most prosperous fast food restaurant in the world is? Is it McDonald's? Is it Subway? Is it Burger King? Is it Taco Bell? Is it KFC? The answer is Chick-fil-A. No one makes as much money per location as Chick-fil-A. And what's unique about Chick-fil-A, what sets them apart... Someone's not happy with the name, but anyway, what sets them apart... Sorry, thank you. It's closed on Sundays. It's closed on Sundays. Because when the person who found it in 1946, they made the decision that it would be closed on Sundays. So that all staff could have a day of rest, and those who wanted to, if they chose to do so, could find a place of worship. And they make money per location more than any of those other names. McDonald's, Subway, Burger King, Taco Bell, etc., etc. God's rhythms are right. Staff should be able to gather to places of worship on Sundays. God's rhythm to life is best. So we had some Psalms read to us. And I want to just note some of the lines of those Psalms. I'm nearly through. And that'll be our evening. Let me just see how I've done. Hey, it's 15:15, so very close to ending. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. Like I said, it's written by the Korahites, who were a division of the priesthood, who actually lived in the temple precincts. And they were saying, how lovely is your dwelling place. They got to live right there, close at hand, and be there, spend their days there. My soul longs, yes, faints. You'd think if anyone would be bored of the temple precincts, I've had enough of this by now. It would be the guys who lived there and worked there. But it's not true. I want to say, I get a thrill when I come into this venue. Sometimes I walk up and down here when there's no one else here. I pray, Lord, thank you. Fill this place. Let your hand be here. Let people, if it's possible, Lord, when they walk in, sense your presence. Let them experience joy in this place. I've come to enjoy church and God's people. Might sound strange because I've been to probably more meetings than anyone here. I doubt anyone has been to more meetings here. It's just not possible because when I was growing up, I had chapel in the morning and chapel in the evening every day because my dad lectured at a Bible college and all the students lived on the campus. So in season, in term time, morning and evening, we had chapel. That's for years. I've been to a lot and lot of meetings. And you know what? I'm not tired of them. I'm not tired of them. I look forward to hearing God's words. I'm taking notes. I want to know what God's word says. I'm checking while people are preaching. Oh, that's interesting. He's expressing it like that. I got my Logos app here. I can see what's going on with the words and the history and the commentary. I check things as I'm going because I'm interested. I want to know, what does God's word say? My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, like I said, it should be a home. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. Should be a dwelling for us, singing praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Do you have like a homing instinct within you towards God and his people, towards his house? Do you have that? For some people, they move to a new city, and that's the first thing they want to find. Where is the community of believers I'm going to be part of? Then they work out all the other things after that. I don't know if that's true of you, but I want to say, for your lives, that Catholic priest that I referenced, and his mom, who would take him to the middle of the village on holiday, and centered everything around. I want to say, you want healthy tracks for life. You want those percentages which the secular sociologists identified for people who gathered in faith communities over their lives, or church faith community. You want the blessings of those things? Live a life like that. Anyway, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. What's highlighted in that psalm is that Jerusalem is built like a city compacted together. There's a closeness of the people of God, a homothymidon. What's also highlighted in that psalm is that there is a praise which takes place. Thanksgiving is the word. What's also highlighted in that psalm is a prayer for peace amongst Jerusalem or for Jerusalem. Now, I don't want to get too much into it right now, but let's take it like this tonight. The new Jerusalem is coming down out of heaven, the book of Revelation says, and it's made up of the people of God. We are the new Jerusalem, joined with all the other saints. So there is reference in the psalm towards that. Whether there's other reference or not, we're not going into that tonight, but there's definitely reference towards us as the people of God, and we must be praying for the peace So I was glad when they said to me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. There we will find the people of God closely compacted together. They'll be a praising people and a people praying for the shalom of God to be amongst them, his blessing and his favor. That's why we gather. We gather to hear God's word taught. We gather to praise God. We gather to pray to God. We gather because, yes, there's a fellowship overflow in these moments too. We're going to end there. I think it might be nice to end with, no, let's not end with a song of worship. It's already 20 past seven. I preached long. Let's do it like this. You stand, I pray for you, and we can have a meal together. Thank you for listening to me. You're a very kind audience. Lord, we want to thank you that we can gather in this way. We thank you for this venue to gather in. We thank you for the ability to stream our messages. Thank you for those serving in that capacity. We thank you that all down history, as your church was initiated, your people have been gathering. And the real estate of cities actually marks many, many monuments of the fact that your people gather because they bought buildings to gather in. You are amazing, Lord God, and you've planned it this way that we might gather to learn, to grow towards you, to learn of you and your ways that we might walk in them, to have courage and faith put into our hearts. Faith comes by hearing your word, Lord, and you put it into our hearts so that we could walk in your ways. And we ask that we would be just such a community that we see in Scripture. Amen. Trust you have a wonderful week. Thank you for listening to me.